All right, it's Wednesday, so here we go with this previous Sunday's first hour broadcast of Spiritual Perspectives, part four of Power. Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. You are just in time for another edition of Spiritual Perspectives, where we are still concentrating on power. And I know that, you know, as we started this discussion, we've probably been looking at it from an angle that maybe, you know, you weren't expecting. But it is a necessary angle. It has to do with our character. It has to do with us realizing that the Lord God can give us power to develop the character, the godly character that we need to develop in order to truly look more and more and more like Him. The inner person, the inner being, the person we are on the inside, the person that each one of us is on the inside, looking more and more like our Heavenly Father, like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we are transformed, changed more and more and more in our inner beings. Matter of fact, I know a lot of you are probably thinking about Romans chapter 12, which is truly something to keep in mind here. Verses 1 and 2, where the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans something that is an urgent request just as relevant to us now as it was to the Roman Christians then. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, therefore. Why is the word therefore placed at the very beginning of Romans 12 and 1? Because he's continuing a thought that comes from the passage above, the passage just before Romans 12 and 1. In Romans chapter 11, he had talked about the remnant of Israel, and he pointed out how there were people who had really just as a nation, primarily, disregarded God's commands, disregarded God's desires, and chose instead to live sinful lives of disobedience, because that's where they decided they would get their pleasure, they would get their fulfillment. Their fulfillment, their idea of fulfillment, by dwelling in sin, by remaining in sin, disregarding God. And as a result, they ended up being cut off by God. And in their places, we had some other branches grafted in, attached to the Lord Jesus. Those who would hear the message that God wanted all mankind to hear regarding recognizing our sins, developing that willingness, that readiness to truly say, hey, it's time for me to stop living like this. I need to live the way our Creator wants me to live. And so that's what I'm going to do. And they connected with the Lord by submitting to Him and then being made a part of Him. And the Apostle Paul went on to talk about how eventually all Israel would be saved. Eventually, as the gospel would continue to be sent out around the world, and the Israelites would finally hear that and in huge numbers begin to submit their lives to the Lord too, as they had seen the Gentiles do. And then what I was reading towards the end of Romans 11. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out. And the rest of it that I read. The Apostle Paul making it clear that God, with His infinite wisdom, His amazing wisdom, already knows, already knew how things were going to play out regarding his plan of redemption, regarding the beauty of holiness and righteousness with which he would create mankind, particularly the first man and the first woman, Adam and Eve. He knew that they would fail to continue to honor him and to remain in righteousness. He knew they would sin, and he knew that they would pass their sinful nature into all of their descendants, including us and those who were coming after us. They would pass their sinful nature into all of us. God knew he would need a plan that would be put into play for helping mankind be redeemed, to be purchased from sin, purchased from death, taken out of the grip of the evil one, and brought into union, brought back into union with God, so that when we leave this earth, we are brought into his presence for all eternity. And so after getting all of this across, in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul wrote, therefore, that's why the therefore is there, to let us know this is what needs to take place based on what you have just read. I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Isn't that interesting how transformation, change comes based also on what happens with our minds? Our minds need to be renewed. The mind. And after the mind has been renewed, and as the mind continues to be renewed, we'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, and perfect will as a result of being transformed. Now, one of the things that happened that we read about with regards to the Israelites in the early days of Moses in particular, we're looking at, they knew that God was their rescuer. They knew that God is divine, that he is the ultimate one. But like humanity has done from the beginning and continue to do now and will continue to do until the very end, they chose to just disregard God, to dismiss God. To dismiss him. And it's so interesting that so many people are willing to worship. They just refuse to worship the Almighty God, the one true living God. There are many people who worship, and I don't mean just jobs and cars and houses. There are people who worship other humans, but refuse to worship Jesus. There are many, many people of all ethnicities, all nationalities, both genders, who will worship demons, but refuse to worship God. Enthusiastically and faithfully worship evil spirits, but refuse to worship the Lord of all spirits, God Almighty. That has been man's story forever. And that was the story of the Israelites. Despite the fact that they knew God had rescued them from the Egyptians who were dogging them out badly, having them work hard, slave labor, building huge monuments and making it hard for them to get all the materials they needed to make those monuments. huge monuments made of heavy stones and dogging them, having them do all that hard slave labor, literally slave labor. God rescued them. He sent Moses, and he had Moses get together with his brother Aaron, and working through them and doing what only God could do, working those signs and those wonders that he worked, having the frogs come up on the land and overwhelm the Egyptians, the gnats come up on the land and overwhelm the Egyptians, killing the firstborn of the Egyptians, animal as well as people, firstborn, gone. And the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh, finally said, hey, you know what? We need to let you all go. Get your inheritance. We need to let you all go and let you worship your God, because we're going to be destroyed otherwise. The king of Egypt let the people of Israel go and then pursued them to try to take them back. And as many of you know, God opened up the Red Sea, parting the waters, exposing dry ground where those waters had left, and enabled the children of Israel, the people of Israel, to cross over on that dry land to the other side. And when Pharaoh and his army went into that same dry ground to try to walk through those parted waters that were forming walls on either side, when they got in the midst of it, God caused the waters to go back and drown the Pharaoh and every member of his army. The Israelites watched that happen, and they knew God was the one who caused it to happen for the purpose of rescuing them. And they still would not love him. They still would not respect him. They still would not serve him. God had something to say to them about that later on, because they got to a point where they kept getting into sin, kept needing forgiveness, go back into sin, get forgiveness again. Can you imagine anyone who's in a position of authority constantly dealing with rebellion, 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 patiently dealing with the people that they're supervising, overseeing, and trying to give them opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to get it together. And they just won't. It's not that they can't. They just won't. They will not get their act together. They refuse to get their act together. After a while, the patience of that leader will wear out. After a while, that leader is going to get to a point where he or she says enough is enough. And you can best believe with the Almighty God, there comes a time when he says enough is enough. That happened with these Israelites. God had promised their forefathers and them that he had some great land he was going to give to them. Great land. And they went out and took a look at that land, the land of Canaan, and found out it was truly beautiful land with great resources. That was truly a place to desire. God had promised them that he would be with them and he would help them take possession of that land. When they sent out their 12 spies to look at the land, to check out the cities and how the cities were built up, whether or not they were fortified, take a look at the people who lived there and get an idea of how strong they were, how strong they were not. They got all their information. They brought it back. Unfortunately, of the 12 men who went to explore the place and see for themselves what the place was like and to get the kind of reconnaissance information they needed to come up with their battle plan, their strategy. Of the 12, only two agreed with God that they could take possession of the land. The other 10 said, we can't do it. There's no way we'll be able to take possession of that land. And the 10 who said we can't do it poisoned the minds and the hearts of the rest of the people of Israel, the rest of the congregation, and they all wanted to stone Moses, stone Joshua and Caleb, the two who brought back the right report about what that land was like and the fact that they could take possession of it. And God was fed up. At that point, God said, enough is enough. Those people made God so angry that he came down and he spoke to Moses and he asked Moses the question, how long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me? See, their lack of faith was not something that was beyond their control. They disbelieved. They made a decision not to believe God. They refused to believe him. That is an act of their will. And God was fed up. He said, enough is enough. He said, I'm going to strike them down with the plague and destroy them, but I will make you into a nation greater and stronger than they. Still speaking to Moses. Moses, being a forgiving man, being a patient man, and caring about God's reputation, did not want God to destroy all of those people in the wilderness and then have the people from the other nations saying he brought them out of Egypt, but he could not take them into the land that he promised to them. See, for centuries, the peoples surrounding Israel have known that their God promised them the land and gave it to them. They knew it then. And Moses said, I don't want these people saying you brought them out of Egypt, but you could not take them into the land you promised. Because he knew that ultimately the thinking was the people's God is ultimately responsible for the people's success or failure. And so if those people did not make it into the promised land, the people from the surrounding countries were going to say their God could not take them in. And so he destroyed them instead. Moses did not want God's reputation or his image messed up by that. He had accomplished so much that people were afraid of God because of what he had done, not only to the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and his soldiers, but also because of what he had done to their gods. Because in working all those signs and wonders in Egypt, before the Israelites left Egypt, God causing a swarm of gnats to come and leave when he told them to leave. God causing the swarms of frogs to come and leaving when he made them die. And on it goes. God was demonstrating that he is stronger. He was stronger than the gods, the demons, the evil spirits that the Egyptians worshipped. And all around Egypt, the people had found out what God had done. And Moses did not want God's reputation messed up. So he prayed to God. And I want you to hear something that he prayed. This is so significant. Something that he prayed with regards to power. When I come back.